Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Okay, today's podcast is titled Living on $300 per month or less. The day before yesterday, let me go get my program notes from a couple of days ago. I was telling you about 5 people I know, 5 friends of mine actually, that they all live on less than $300 a month. One lives on $289 a month per month. One lives on $231 a month. Another lives on $58 a month. The fourth one lives on $96 per month. And the last one lives on $135 per month. How can we do this? Well, number one, the common denominator with all of them except for one, they don't have any appliances in their homes. No washer and dryer. No microwave. No juicers, no blenders, no air conditioners, no electric stoves, No refrigerator. No, well, one's got a refrigerator. The one that has a refrigerator is a merchant, and they sell stuff like convenience store items. And she sells sodas, and people like to buy cold drinks. But other than that, these five don't have no appliances in their home. There are other things, but I'm going to play an audio here that for those of you who can't even imagine how you can live on $300 a month or less, because see, none of these people live. $289, that's the closest to $300. So I'm going to play this audio, Solar Cabin, because these are what you're going to hear here is we'll be building these things and teaching people how to build these things. I think we're going to be rolling out here tomorrow. I just hired a helper yesterday. So let's play this, and then let's look at how we can zero out waste in our lives so we can reach the goal of living on $300 per month or less.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater. And those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat, takes a lot less money to cool, it's a lot easier to clean, it's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
All right. Today's podcast is titled Living on $300 per month, $300 or less per month. So, and I got five friends, probably have more than five, but five that I've mentioned on here, that they range, they live on, I think the highest one, let me look at my notes again, is $289 a month per month. Yeah, 200. The range is one friend lives on $58 a month, and the highest one is $289. Now, Let's take some clues, and I already know there's a lot of people saying, particularly Westerners, that I can't live on that. All right. Well, let's get some clues on how you can. Now you have to be willing to do it, number one. But and I'm working on it myself. I'm working on it myself. Got a little ways to go, but anyway. But let's take some clues from the audio. That's why I keep on playing it. And I like people to look at it or listen to it from a different point of view. Number one, the biggest thing in getting your expenses down, monthly expenses down, is where you decide to live. Now, this guy lives in a rural area. Typically, rural areas are less expensive than urbanized areas. That's the number one. But some people, matter of fact, the majority of the population, because you can't tell grown folks where to live, but for those of you who really want to get their expenses reduced, it might not be down to $300 per month for everything, but you have to be willing to move to a location, a city or a town or a village that's sustainable. The thing is, well, quite a number of people, they might earn enough money, but they're just living in the wrong place, geographically speaking. If they would move 30 minutes away, outside of that particular city, 45 minutes away, an hour away, you know, that's not long, 30-minute drive, 45-minute drive, hour drive. You know, if you have to go to work in that particular city, you know, you do that twice a day. All right, let's say 2 hours out of your day, your commute. A ton of people do that. That might be not, but if you're struggling, I would suggest make that move of 30, 45 minutes or an hour away to do it. Because just by making a geographical move, you could find a place where just the price of housing dramatically drops, you know. But a lot of people psychologically are tied to cities basically for the conveniences in a city, and I guess there's a certain psychological comfort level as well. But I would say that would be the number one thing. Me personally, I'm willing to get in the car, bus, plane, train, and go to a location that I can afford. I'm willing to do that. But that's me. There's a number of people like commuters. You know, I met a couple once. The wife was a stay-at-home wife. The husband was the breadwinner for the family, had the only paycheck. Now, they lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or that's where they live. However, the husband, his 9-to-5 job is in Boston, Massachusetts. So he would fly to Boston, do his 9-to-5 during the day, fly home weekends. Other people that commute like that might do it twice a day. They fly to Boston or wherever it is and then fly home at night. Tom Joyner did it for a number of years. That's why they call him the fly jock. Tom Joyner was based out of Dallas, Texas, but he also had a job, I forgot the name of the radio station, in Chicago. He would fly from Dallas, do his radio show in Dallas in person, then fly back to Dallas, Texas. So some people, they don't mind doing a commute thing. Other people, they get in their car and they drive an hour to work, maybe 90 minutes to work. You know, there are people that live in, let's say, the Richmond, Virginia metro area that work in Washington, D.C. You know, between D.C. and Richmond, Virginia, it's 90 miles. So if everything's going well and you get, you know, the traffic flows, it's a 90-minute drive minimum. Minimum. That's without heavy traffic. All right. And a lot of people drive that distance twice a day. Some people that live in the D.C. metro, the DMV, work down in the Richmond metro area. Some people, because they got a lot of good transportation up that way, get on a plane from Reagan National to Richmond's airport. Or they'll go to Union Station, because out of Union Station in Washington, D.C., you have their regular, you don't even need a reservation Monday through Friday. They have regular trains that go from D.C. to Richmond throughout the day. You have regular trains. There's God knows how many people that live in the Baltimore metro area that work in D.C., catch the MARC train, come to I did it for a bit when I was staying with a friend in D.C. I mean, excuse me, not D.C., Baltimore. Stay in Baltimore, commute to D.C. After I finish what I need to do in D.C., go back to Union Station, get on a MARC train, go back up to Baltimore. So that MARC train goes from on the northern end, D.C., Baltimore, maybe somewhere in Delaware, definitely Pennsylvania. I don't know how far north it goes, but people do that. All right. About a month ago, a little bit over a month ago now, I did a flight from Orlando to Chicago. Then we did another side trip after I got up there. Then I came back that night. So, I was going up there because I was looking for an affordable piece of land that I can't find in this neck of the woods for what I want to do up that way. So the first thing is you have to find the proper place, the proper climate geographically where you can afford to live. The second thing is, are you willing to build your own house? Because when you build your own house or learn how to build your own house, you're cutting out the middleman. You're cutting out the middleman. The third thing with the solar part, you're cutting out more middlemen. You go solar with electric, you're not going to get an electric bill. You're cutting out the electric company. You're cutting out the municipal water. And you're cutting out the gas company also. Now, he uses propane. He uses propane. But as you heard him say, he has computers in his house, refrigerator, stove to cook on, microwave. He's got all that in his house. So you got to be willing to, like I said, the big thing, I think, is a lot of people psychologically, they can't pull themselves out of the big city or wherever they might be. It's a lifestyle, too. It's a lifestyle. Let's go to the phone lines here. 773, your mic is open.
Good morning. I'm back home again.
Great, great, great. You're glad you made it back safe.
Yes, I did. And I got some news. If you're near your computer, turn your computers on. Get your pencil and paper because I got some news to bring to the audience that is going to bust your vest.
All right.
Well, I was in Texas just this week for a whole week, and I was surveying, and I was having a good time and partying and all that other good stuff that we love to do. But I got some bad news for you. The bad news is we've got people that are traveling all over the country, as you just stated. And we are not on the trains doing the traveling. We're not on the planes doing the traveling. We don't have a vested interest in the highways that we travel on. we do not have a vested interest in this country. And the generation that's right in our face are numbers that you can't even imagine. I'm going to start with the colleges that's graduating that I have been in the graduation classes, in the graduation places where they are graduating, and they are outnumber us, I would say, 2-1. Now, if we're going to continue to live in America and have a vested interest in this country, we are going to have to go back and redo what we were doing for somebody else. One is, we first got to have shelter. Shelter, what you talk about all the time, is housing. The housing market in Texas, in some parts of Houston, Texas, is needed with tiny houses. Because the poor communities has gotten wiped out of good, affordable housing. The poor people in some of the poor areas, and what we call ghetto areas, are in need of housing today. California is in need of housing today. Not Mexico, but what's another country? Are in need, Puerto Rico, are in need of housing today. I snooped around and I found out that Puerto Rico hasn't gotten the help that they needed or need in the whole state or country of Puerto Rico, which is a part of the United States. There are a market. If we were to produce all the product that's needed to supply people that's in need all across the country, there are opportunities. And I haven't seen not one of us that are building industries, assembling houses, assembling cars, assembling stoves, refrigerators, making paint, anything, and transporting it from one state to the other. Are we going to sit by and let millions and billions of dollars just slip through our hands and say that we are jobless? All right, let me give you one that's right in your face. There is a need for just plain old, in different climates as you just made mention of, T-shirts. Let's break it down, the T-shirt industry. T-shirt industry is wide open. Wide open. We need to be making ink. We need to be making the fabric. We need to be producing the T-shirts with the logos on them. That industry alone, from what I saw in Texas, would employ practically all black people that are still living in America. Just the T-shirts. Not to mention the tiny houses. Not to mention the market for what we are talking about. But it's time to stop talking, unify, and produce. Because the market is wide open, folks. Wide open. And the other people that don't look like us are traveling to go from country to state to state to state by the plane load. I was on what they call an Airbus coming out of Texas back to Chicago yesterday. There are a plane called the Airbus, packed with people that didn't look like us. People look like me, must have been four or five on an Airbus. Four or five of us on an Airbus. Now, you do that on a 24-hour basis and see how many of us are moving from A to Z. Man, it is absolutely sickening that we are not assembling and producing the product of consumption that we use across the country. It is sickening to see us sitting aside and do not have the financial institutions collectively to where we can make investments for each other's business and teach how this capitalistic system works. I want everybody to go on our website. We touch bases on our website with everybody that has a concern and look at how we have actually said or talked about a few different things. One of the things we talked about on our website is the solar energy that you just mentioned, L.A. The solar energy that you...
Give us that domain name.
IBE-BPAC.com. IBE-BPAC.com.
Okay, I'm on
there. On that page, you will see a solar energy sitting there to where we can build it's on a house. We can build the energy source and redirect our spending to assemble more industry. Redirect the money that we are paying to these utility companies and make more money. That's what it's about. You see that page with the solar energy, LA?
All right, wait a minute. I'm on the site now. Yeah, I see it. I'm on it right now.
All right. Talk a little bit about what you see.
Well, it's got a picture of the different parts of the solar system that would be in a home. Particularly in the city, BPAC Solar, the applications, then a number of which people can get in contact, and then at the bottom of the page you have your goal as well. But it does have an illustration of the five parts of an urban house would have with a solar system. With the panels, the inverter, hooked to the meter that goes to the grid, or it's known as a service. They have all those. Pleasant, because we're out of time. We're only doing like 30 minutes a day. Give us the name of your podcast and how we can listen to it tonight.
The name of the broadcast is Strictly Business, and we air at 7:30 p.m. for 5 days a week, now that I'm back, 7:30 p.m., and give them the call-in number for that, L.A., because I'm not sitting where
I can. That is 516-387-1512, and that's tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, not Eastern. What do you call it? Central Standard Time, 8:30 Eastern. All right, so we're going to catch more of this on Pleasant's podcast night. strictly business, and then get to his website, which is IBE-BPAC.com. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.